Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Astros take 2 out of 3 from San Diego. That's nice. They lost last night, 3-2. Fernando Tatis is really, really, really good. That dude is really good. He's going to be around a long time. He's just, he is a beast.
Who's that, John?
Tatis Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a beast. And the Astros lose it 3-2. I'm not sure. Framber did okay. Framber was okay. The triple by Tatis was right down the line, and nothing you can do about it. He's going to score. Tatis was a one-man wrecking crew last night. It just is. Framber was okay, but we need Framber to be 6 or 7 shutout now. I mean, he's got to be. We need him to be super ace.
Listen, Framber, with or without the extensions, you're going to have to pretty much throw shutout ball from now on.
Yeah.
How long, Coach? How long, Skip? I mean, 6 innings. So you need me to go 6 shutout, or six not just quality start?
No.
Quality start? No, not quality start.
We ain't doing that.
We need shutout start every time.
Yep. That's pretty much it.
But what about Christian Walker hitting a home run? I bet you're not. Are you finally going to talk about Christian Walker?
Yeah, and then he went 0-for-4 last night. It was nice.
Yeah, but yeah. What about him?
He's got his open. That home run was really nice. No, actually, it was
him
a huge
and Paredes
run.
On Saturday were the
yeah. He's got his OPS to .513. So
and how about Cam Smith? You know, Cam Smith is it the highest or second highest slugging percentage on the team right now?
Yeah, he said right now his slugging is .429.
Uh huh.
Which,
go look at the team. You'll be surprised how low it is. Well, you may not be surprised, actually.
Well, actually, it might be the highest on the team right now.
Yeah, it might be. Is it higher than Yordan? It was the highest in the lineup the other day. I didn't.
Well,
I was looking at it.
I think he passed Altuve now for highest.
No, he did.
Yeah.
Cam Smith is way up there in terms of team slugging percentage.
He's our 9-hole hitter, and he's, really. His slugging right now is #1 on the team. Yep. Altuve second, and it's,
oh yeah, Yordan's only .338.
Yeah, it's bad.
Those are the only two guys at .400. Holy crap!
His OPS right now is third
it's
on
not,
the team. His OPS
it's not terrible.
Is .748 leads the team OPS. That's
he's been
how
better.
Bad this is
no, but he's been better though.
But he's been better.
Kansas been better.
He
yeah.
hit. There were 2 off-speed pitches that he pulled. That's fine. He's hitting the ball hard. He hit a line drive yesterday at Yuli in the 9th. But the fastballs are still going to right field, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. He just needs to pick it up a tick, which he's a rookie. This dude was playing college baseball 1 year ago.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anyone's freaking
so
out.
So I got no worries about it.
But
he made a really nice play in right field. Never played right field, and he made a really nice play last night.
He looked natural. What Jake do with that bat, though? Jake is hitting .305, and he's got an OPS of over .700. This is an historic event.
So this is as good as it gets. It doesn't get any better. Jake leads the team at hitting in average with .305. Leads the team in average 21 games into a season.
He's at .727 from a. 727 from a. He's got a better higher OPS than Cam Smith does, by the way.
Yeah, right. He's second on the team. 748 is the top OPS on the team. Can it get much more miserable when 748 is your top OPS?
No, I mean, you're not hitting. You're 10-11. Your starting pitching has been pretty good. Bullpen has been either great or, well, I mean, you got at least one guy who pitches lousy every other game for sure, and it can cost you dearly. But, yeah, it's just offensively this team is just not – they're built to be a pretty good offensive team on paper, but it has not manifested itself, and that's the problem. Paredes had come way up. You know, Paredes had got – started off cold – got hot. Now he's kind of slunk back down. Yordan just has not turned into Yordan yet. We got 21 game sample size. Not that he's played all of them, but Yordan still hasn't become Yordan yet. Yordan is playing a part of Alex Bregman now. So I'm just waiting for April to end, and then I think Yordan goes on a tear. I mean, we know it's coming. We know Yordan's coming.
What about Yiner? Yiner can't even get in the lineup anymore.
Yiner is incredibly disappointed. Between him and Walker, Yiner, and Yordan, those are guys that really needed to be – you just pencil them in and you know that they're going to hit, those three guys. Yep. Walker has to be a run producer. Yordan needs to be a star. And Yiner needs to be that up-and-coming offensive talent. And you want to know why they're 10-11 right now? If those guys, if two of those three guys are doing their job, they probably have 13 wins. We're probably looking at 13-8. More than likely, but it's just really you got too many players playing poorly. Your catcher position is really killing you because you're either not hitting, you're not throwing anyone out at all.
Yeah.
Guys are running on you.
713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. We got a lot of calls up here now.
Let's
get Lynn in here. Lynn, what you got? You got a question for me and Lance?
Yes, sir. I love you guys. Y'all have a great show in the morning, and I love listening to you all. The draft is coming up. I'm a Texas fan, and I want to know, do we need to draft an offensive lineman or a wide receiver first round?
Lynn is one of my favorite callers already off the bat. My favorite caller of the day, Lynn.
Why?
Because he just said some good stuff.
We got a great show, and he listens every day.
He asked a good question.
He's the smartest person in the city.
Oh. Yeah, he seemed like
a good caller. He complimented you, which makes him your favorite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
he seemed like a good caller.
What, do you want a guy who's going to call in and say, Lance, you're stupid, and I bet against you all the time? No.
Well, he said you, too. He said our show is a really good show.
Extreme. No.
Well, but we had that call, too. Not the favorite caller.
Okay. Right. As long as you compliment him, these two are putty in your hands.
If you compliment us.
That's a coincidence, Del. It just worked out that way. But I would say, no, I think they do need to draft O-line or wide receiver. Based on the board, I think if you really want to know the truth, I think there's four players. Amik Egbuka, wide receiver, Ohio State. Tyler Booker, Alabama. That's a guard. Gray Zabel, center or guard for North Dakota State. And Donovan Jackson, guard out of – some people will say guard tackle, but I think he's just a guard out of – and he's here in Houston. He's going to join our show tomorrow. At 9 o'clock, we have Donovan Jackson on the show, a potential target for the Texans at pick number 25. For me, I've got him rated higher than Booker, very slightly, and higher than Gray Zabel. I think Donovan Jackson is a top-rated guard in this draft. But those are the four. I would say you probably come out of there with one of those four players, is my guess, because they all have what I like to call swarm. That's what D'Amico calls swarm. What does that mean? Something having to do with work ethic and – I can't remember what the acronym is, but trust me, it's good.
Yeah,
it just
means you gotta be all in, and that's what they
you're
want.
You're a football guy.
Your answer, Lynn, is it is wide receiver. It is offensive lineman over wide receiver.
I would say
now,
so,
if
right, John?
Buka is there, and they take him, I'm not going to be mad.
No, they've done a lot of work on running back, too. They brought a lot of running backs in and for the 30 visits, including Quinshon Judkins. So I would not be totally shocked if the second round pick, or maybe if they traded back in the early third round pick as a running back. It looks like that's one of the things they really want to highlight. So I'm thinking on day two, second or third round, that running back is a pick for them because they've done some work on it.
All right, we got the exact opposite caller, Israel here. We had a caller that really likes the show, and now we got Israel. So the polar opposites on the same segment. What's up, Israel?
Well, Lynn wanted to thank you. I wanted to leave him on because he wanted to thank you guys.
Oh, he wanted to thank us?
Okay.
Okay, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for listening, Lynn.
What a polite,
being a great caller, listener.
A good caller, a guy who really adds a lot to the show.
And now Israel, who also adds a lot to the show, not something Lance likes what he has. Lance doesn't always like what he has.
In the past, that's fine.
But this is a new day. Yes.
What's up?
Hey, Israel.
Yes. Hey, all right, fellas. Hey, Big Cam had a couple dingers over the week. He on a 6-game hitting streak, brother. And listen here. He is proving everybody wanted to be down in the minors. He's showing that he belongs in the majors.
Who wanted him in the minors? Nobody wanted him in the minors.
Okay, dear. All right. Well, even on defense, is he going to be able to handle right field? Yes, he is. And also, with the draft, guess who is the face of the draft on ESPN, ABC, the new Gatorade commercial? It's Shador. So corporate don't care what you rate them, Glenn. He is the face of
there's no question.
Draft.
There's it. No question.
He's the winner.
Well, they're doing that. They're doing that because he's the most. Cam should be the face of it. He's going to be the first pick of the draft, and he's a quarterback. It should be Cam Ward, but it's Shador because Deion. I mean, it's
uncertainty.
I don't blame
the story about it. There's no story. Cam's going to be the first pick. There's a lot of intrigue about Shador because no one knows where he's going to go.
But it's like Shador. I was reading Adam Schefter was talking about. He talked to a GM who had no quarterbacks. With a first-round grade. I don't have any quarterbacks with a first-round grade. Technically, I've got a second-round grade on Cam Ward. It's not an exciting quarterback.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
I just saw Damian Woody say there would be four, and it's a fact, four quarterbacks drafted in the first round.
There would be four what?
Quarterbacks drafted in the first round.
In this draft?
Yes.
I think under 2.5. Plus 275 is a very interesting play. I'll just put it that way. I talked to a GM over the weekend that I had not spoken with, who said their team has a second rounder. They have a second on Shador, a second/third on Jackson Dart. He doesn't think there's more than two that are going. He said, Lance, when it's all said and done. Whatever you watch all these guys. Do any of them strike you as a true first rounder? I said, Cam. And I said, I think Shador should get pushed into the first. Yes. He said, okay. He said, do you have a first round grade? I said, no. He goes, at the end of the day, when you watch these guys on tape, coaches and general managers are going to have to say, I'm willing to get fired for this pick. He said, if you were the picker, and I told him, I said, you can't go to me. I don't really have a team like you guys have to do it. He said, well, I'm just going to tell you this way. If we pick a guy in the first round that's a quarterback, we have to be willing to bet our jobs on it. He goes, I don't know a lot of guys that are going to bet their jobs on Jackson Dart or Shador Sanders. And I thought that was interesting. It certainly runs contrary to
bet his job on Anthony Richardson, and I thought it was one of the dumbest moves ever.
Well, and he'll be gone after this year if they don't win.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the truth. You have to, but he had to. He got to a point where he had done Phillip Rivers. He had done all these other older quarterbacks, Matt Ryan, and this is the only time he had a top five pick ever.
Yeah.
And he had to talk himself into Anthony Richardson, and I didn't like it. He was a developmental quarterback with high traits but low floor. And it's just the truth. Brian Billick said it years ago. You draft a quarterback, the job, the hourglass is turned over on your job. Yeah. So now I do think there is a decent chance. I'm hearing from many places. Many places are saying that Mike Tomlin wants – a quarterback, and he wants Shador Sanders at 21. So I'm going to plug him in there.
All right.
In my final mock draft, I'm plugging Shador Sanders in at 21. But there's no question. The guy that is the hot topic is Shador Sanders.
Yeah,
it's the low-hanging fruit, though.
Yep.
It's just for the average fan.
That's ESPN's gig.
Yeah. You just go low-hanging fruit. Like, you're not going to talk about the guy, Travis Hunter is the most intriguing prospect in the last several years.
Yeah.
He plays two positions extremely well, but he's a given. You said, he's a given. He's a top three pick.
But, all right, we got to talk about a top pick in the city of Houston. It's raining out there today. There might be some of you that would have maybe a leak And if you have a leak and you haven't done anything about your roof, then guess what? The insurance company's not going to pay. You got to be preemptive on this stuff. You got to have Brinkman over to your house to give your roof a clean bill of health. When was the last time you looked at your roof? When was the last time you did anything about your roof? How long have you been in that place? 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and you haven't done anything about your roof? You need to have Brinkman out to your house. The insurance company is going to go, nope, we ain't giving you nothing for the damage that you got because you haven't done anything to your roof. How long have you lived here and you haven't done a thing? Get that clean bill of health or make sure. And if you got anything wrong, I let the people that have been doing this for 50 plus years take care of it for you. Not these guys that knock on your door and then let me climb on your roof. No, you know what? And Brinkman ends up with more business from that because those guys screw it up. Here's the deal. You're looking for the best way, residential or commercial, 50 plus years of experience. They know everything about it. Brinkmanquality.com, B-R-I-N-K-M-A-N-N, Brinkman with two N's at the end, Brinkmanquality.com. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 is the number. You want to get in? Anybody wants to get in? This show, it's all yours. What, you want to talk about the Rockets? Let's go. 713-780-3776.
Yeah, let's talk about the Rockets. We were negative in the first. We weren't negative. We just talked about how the game went, which was accurate. It was a defensive minded first quarter. Rockets took a lead. They were up 13-7. I thought, you know what? This team's too fast. They're too young. They're too explosive. The Golden State Warriors aren't ready for this. And then, like, by the time I finished unpacking all of my bags, the Rockets were down 12. and I was like, holy crap. Yep. That was seemingly fast. The Rockets went on one of their yucky stallouts and where they just couldn't score. What needs to happen? What do you guys think needs to happen to turn this around? We can make easy. I mean, there's easy. I want to go beyond just make shots. Like, what needs to happen for the Rockets to I think it starts with you can't let the Steph energy get going. I really think that's the thing. The downfall, and we've seen it dating back to 14, the downfall of the Houston Rockets versus Golden State is when Steph starts making shots, they turn into daggers, they turn into momentum that carries his teammates with him. It turns into negative momentum for the Rockets where they start playing tight. Like, you have to keep Steph from getting on a roll over any 3 to 4 minute stretch. I think that's essential to keep that Golden State energy at check.
I think Ime would tell you, even judging by his post game, when they give up 95 points and Steph is shooting the way he did and Jimmy knocked down shots to close it out, that's the game plan. Sure, Steph will have moments where, like, I can't believe you made that shot. One of his threes, Amen, was in disbelief because he's all over him. He still knocks it down from like 31 feet, but that's just who he is. I don't want to just say make shots, but you have to. Your backcourt has to play better in all regards. Even if they're not the one shooting, get guys easy shots. And I would say, use your size. You are bigger and stronger than them. The Warriors can't play big. They don't have the ability to, particularly if they're not going to play Kuminga.
We went double big, by the way. They did play that.
Jabari Smith needs more minutes.
Well, it was effective, too, because when Steven Adams was in, they...
Well, they took Steven Adams out, and the Warriors kind of pulled away.
They got a lot of offensive rebounds out of that. They actually...
There was one. What about the sequence where he grabbed Brooks misses a layup. He grabs the rebound, dishes it out. They miss a three. He grabs the rebound, and then Fred drives and hits the layup.
But the problem was they didn't, like, he had a couple turnovers, and they just weren't scoring offensively with the double big lineup. And that's when the run started for Golden State. Not because of the double bigs. It was just it didn't matter who was in. They just. Second quarter was a disaster. But yeah, I do think you're right, Dell. I think they'd much rather have Jimmy shooting mid-range than Steph draining threes.
No, but even how the Rockets are going to play going forward, you saw Jabari Smith get into the mid-post and in the lane and use his size over smaller Golden State defenders. It's not just about Steven Adams. You have functional size in a lot of places that the Warriors don't, so I would use it. They try to get Steph on Jabari. I think he made him pay a couple times, so I would say lean into your size because you're more athletic, you're bigger. If you play small, I think you're playing into the Warriors' hands. And you know what? If you have to sacrifice one of those backcourt guys for a bigger player, so be it, because what you saw. Not that what you saw last night is going to be going to continue throughout the series, but we talked a lot about how hard the Rockets made it on Steph. We didn't really talk about what the Warriors would do to a Rockets backcourt that's inefficient as anyway, and then say, we're going to put this game on you guys and see if you can beat us. At least through game one, those guys weren't capable of it.
You guys think the Rockets, John, you think the Rockets win if one of those games, if one of those players, Fred, now, based on the way the game went, if Fred or Jalen has, instead of a bad game, has a good game, not a great game, but a good game, the Rockets win that game?
I don't know that they make the plays at the end. I'm not sure that last night they make the plays. I got to see it.
You score 13 points in a quarter in a playoff game.
Yeah.
I think if one of those guys doesn't – if they don't combine – let's say seven. They combine for 7 of 34 and 2 of 17 for 3. I think if one of those guys has an average basketball game, let's say Jalen scores at his number. Jalen scores 21 points. Doesn't have to be super efficient. Let's say he goes – his regular 42% from the field, 35% from the field. Let's give us his season averages. Did they win this game?
Yeah. Probably.
Yes.
Well, I think it's there. I mean, you know, there's a domino effect to everything. So it would change. Everything would change with him having a make here or there. But I think it turns into a game where they're playing possession for possession at the end of the game. And I still think that's going to favor Golden State. Like, you don't want to be in those games. But the difference is, how do they go down 23 and get back in the game and cut it to 3? It's because this, and this is why this series is not over. They can make Golden State have issues shooting the ball. They can limit their offense. It can be tougher for Steph than it is against other teams. So I wouldn't, don't just write this series off. It's just, unfortunately, the offensive stuff is going to be with them for the rest of the year. They drafted a shooter in Reed Shepard. He's going to have to get on the court next year. Like, I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to have to get somebody that has some range on that court. It's just too erratic. And Amen Thompson, you know, his entire offseason needs to be working on his shot. His entire offseason. He's got to add 33% from three to his bag this year. He just has to turn into, you know, a star, a true star.
I'm not sure. I don't know. We got to see them in a tight game against Golden State making the winning plays at the end.
Yeah, it's hard.
That's hard. That's gonna be because Golden State knows how to win at the end. This young team, this may be a stepping stone. I hate that. This team is really too good to be. But listen, everybody knows they kind of got screwed. This is the best seventh seed. It's the best seventh seed we've seen in forever. Honestly,
Golden State was
the second best team in the West since Jimmy Butler.
Right, but they didn't get screwed.
Well, they got screwed because they're a second seed and they got
bad luck,
a really good team. They're playing they're not playing a seventh seed.
If it wasn't for Jimmy Butler, they would have been play-in. They would have been a 10.
They were play-in.
They were play-in. They were a 10.
Well, I mean, they would have been the yucky play-in.
Well,
you don't just win one play-in.
The reason you have this matchup is because the ex-Warrior, Harrison Barnes, knocked down a game-winning three, and then they lose the final game of the year to the Clippers. So they were well on their way to not being a seven, and maybe you're seeing the Clippers or something, but they lost their last couple regular season games, and it cost them.
Is this the worst-case scenario for them?
Who?
For the Rockets?
Warriors. Well, the Steph and Jimmy,
yeah.
Yeah, was this the worst case scenario? I mean, you could have ended up with.
Did you want the Timberwolves and what they did to the Lakers?
Honestly, yeah. I don't. I know it sounds weird because the roster is not great for Golden State, but Anthony Edwards. Yeah, I almost think it's worse because Steph knows how to beat Houston, and Steve Kerr knows. I just think it's a really creepy matchup for him because Jimmy can defend. They're a good rebounding team. They're a good defense team. Now the Rockets beat them up on the boards. But Golden State defense, I think I might rather see Minnesota, honestly. But I mean, I would have rather seen, make no mistake, I'd have rather seen Ja Morant.
Memphis would have been much better.
Then you have Memphis. Memphis had to have
been
better.
There weren't a lot of great options, to tell you the truth.
I mean, Minnesota's got wings, and they've got size, and they've got Anthony Edwards. Yeah,
getting to Golden State. Lord.
That's just traumatic. That's PTSD.
And we need it. We got to have a high ankle sprain for Steph.
All right.
Okay.
I was going to say it.
That would help.
I'm cheering for an ankle sprain.
Oh, my God. He's had ankle sprains his whole career. Don't put that on him.
So who cares? Mm. Get him out of these playoffs. Mm. I'm not asking for an ACL, just a really severe, like, walking boot ankle sprain.
So you need – are you looking for flagrant –
that's respect, by the way.
You're looking for I'm in the slide under him on a three?
No, but if somebody's going to do it, we know it's Dylan.
Yeah.
So you're looking for some Rocket player to slide under him on a three?
Nah, how about Draymond slides under him accidentally?
Okay. Yeah, so you don't pick up a flagrant? No free throws. Yeah, okay, yeah, I got you.
832. 832. You know what's flagrant?
I don't know how it happens.
You know what's flagrant? Bugs in your house. That's flagrant. If you got bugs in your house, you're
what
gross.
What about mosquitoes, John? What about mosquitoes?
Now listen, mosquitoes are badass, okay? Mosquitoes can dominate your life. Don't let them dominate your life. McGrath Pest Control, how about they've got the mosquito murdering system? That's right. That's what they call it. The mosquito murdering system. And they ain't scared of murder, okay? McGrath Pest Control ain't scared of killing bugs. Tom McGrath is like, you heard the commercials. He is a serial killer. He is a serial bug killer. Termites, you ain't got no chance against Scott McGrath. Listen, if you're buying or selling a home, you got to have a termite inspection. Scott McGrath can do that. He does it, okay? And not everybody, not all bug places can. So if you're looking for a termite control, you're looking for mosquito control, bugs, just bugs in general, you don't want bugs. McGrath Pest Control kills bugs, so you don't have to. McGrathPestControl.com. Basically hired killers. See their killing menu at McGrathPestControl.com. That's McGrathPestControl.com. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. All right, let's get some calls in here. 713-780-3776. We got Julian who wants to get on, talk a little NFL draft. Oh, no, he wants to talk about Jordan. What do you say, Julian?
Morning, fellas.
Morning.
A few years ago, whenever he signed that extension, it was a great deal, right? If, it's a big if, because I think he will rebound. I think he's a really good player, obviously. If he doesn't rebound, how much better does that contract look? That it's only what, like, I think it's a tad under 20 a year? Dude, it goes from great contract because he's a good hitter to great contract because if he's not that good anymore, at least it's not 30, 35. Have a good day, fellas.
That's such a weird – it's never a great contract if a guy stinks. There's no such thing as a great contract. I would much rather him outplay his contract. It's not great contract. Look, he's not good. This is a great contract, said no one ever.
He sucks. What a great con. Well, it will help if he does suck. And
it means the Astros are one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah, no, but it'll help that they didn't at least give him a $300 million deal.
Well, it'll be
they
fortunate.
Say that
it'll
Kyle,
just be fortunate for them.
Kyle, right now, Kyle Tucker's, if he continues like this, if he has a big year that he's about to have, his average annual is going to be bigger 60. Than. Maybe bigger than Soto's.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna be in the 60s.
I mean, holy crap! I know everybody's pissed.
It's moving too fast, man. I don't know how the fans are gonna get bludgeoned on these deals. Golly, It's just gonna pass down to you in tickets. It's ticket prices and concessions. That's it. The fans are gonna. How in the world are these teams gonna be paying? I mean, the money's got to come from somewhere. It's going to be – you expect TV deals to just take off on baseball at any time soon, John? They're having a hard time baseball. ESPN was happy to get out of their deal.
Yeah, it was
like,
rough.
Where's the money going to come from to pay these $60 million a year deals?
Yeah.
The difference is you have to be good. This isn't football where they give crappy quarterbacks a ton of money or basketball where you can be an – you know, all you have to do is score points for a bad team, and you can get max dollars. In baseball, if you are not truly one of the best, you don't get paid like that. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Like, you don't just, well, it's his turn.
No.
You got to be good. Got to be good.
Yep. Let's get Chris in the Woodlands in here. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Love the show this morning. I'm not a Steve Kerr fan. I'm not a Warriors fan. I hate them. I love the Rockets. I was going to say, like, I'm not a basketball guy per se, but in the second quarter, it really – actually first and second quarter, it felt like Amen wasn't guarding Steph right up why that he got the ball from the backcourt all the way up like he did the other game. And then the other thing I noticed, and you guys can correct me, please, but in the second quarter, the Warriors, I felt like, flipped to a 1-3-1 defense, and it really threw us off. And I know Ime's a great coach, but I'm, like, sitting on my couch screaming, like, why are we calling a timeout? It felt like none of our guys knew what to do in a 1-3-1 because they had Podzinski at the free throw line kind of moving back and forth and block. Did you guys notice anything? I felt like Steve came with a completely different game plan, and we were ready for what he did a couple weeks ago. And kudos to him, even though I don't like the Warriors. But did you guys feel like there was a complete defensive shift from what the Warriors did a few, you know, a week and a half ago to what they did yesterday? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. I mean, yes. They gave up 85 points. Yeah. I didn't know that the 1-3-1 was the killer. I don't know. I know that they missed a lot of open shots.
There was a lot of turnovers too, man. There was a lot of turnovers too in that second quarter.
They tried to drive the lane too, and they stuffed it inside. There was nowhere to go. I mean, the Rockets did miss layups, so holy crap. It was really physical. But they just missed shots too. I mean, yeah, Warriors did a great job. Great job defensively.
They gotta get a second guy going, and it's probably gotta be Jaylen. More than likely, it's gotta be Jaylen. Dell, did you notice the Warriors do anything different with Steph Curry? I just noticed that Steph was really he didn't wait too long. Steph seemed to get into action quicker and just work off the bounce. Like, he was really dead set. He didn't hit his first three until I think late in the second quarter was his first three. I just think he was dead set on getting off the bounce and into the paint for some floaters and layups and some of those shots. I didn't notice them do anything different, though.
I don't really remember the first game too much, so I can't say.
I'm talking about the three-point game.
Okay. I can't remember much from that previous game, so I can't say definitively. I just know he made it a point to get in the lane early. You know, he missed a couple perimeter shots, and then he decided, I'm going to take guys off the dribble, and he got a couple layups, and because he's Steph, they're still pretty acrobatic in nature because the Rockets were around the rim. And then once those layups got in, you could see the confidence, if he ever lacked any, started to build, and then the shots from the perimeter started going down. And, you know, the Warriors do a good job of keeping him off ball, and they were more intentional, I would say, in their screens to get him free. And Amen and the rest, like Jaylen and Fred last game, in the previous game, they were on him. He missed. Sometimes he's just going to miss, and they made it tough on him. I don't think they were easy on him. It's just he's one of the best players to ever do it. You guys had that discussion. Shots, he's not going to miss shots. I know it was a big point in Amen's DPOY campaign because of that game, but great players, offensive players, don't have games like that consistently, even with the guy who was part of the first one. It's just not how it goes. You don't shut down guys like that. And if he's one of the best of all time, you weren't going to do it again. The Rockets' game plan was fine. They only gave up 95 points. The rest of those guys on the Warriors, there's not a lot of juice there. So Jimmy and Steph had great nights. And still, if you could have been the least bit productive offensively, you got a shot to win that game.
95, you should be. It was perfect for the Rockets. It was perfect. They just couldn't hit any shots. They just sucked offensively. That was exactly how you wanted the game to be played. The refs let them play. You held them to 95. Make some baskets.
That's true. Like, a lot of that game went the way the Warriors scored 95, and the refs let you play, and you beat them in rebounds. He lost by 10. Like, in many ways, that was the type of slop ass game that you wanted.
Yep.
And you were down 23 in the second half. So
the Warriors scored one less point than the game where you shut down Steph. They scored 96 in that game that you won. Mm-hmm. You just happened to score 106.
Yeah. Yep. No, that game was played how you wanted it. Exactly how you wanted it. 845 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, we're getting close now. We're talking about Ownwell. Ownwell.com is where you go, because May 15th is the deadline for you to protest your taxes. If you don't protest your taxes, you're going to get your ass kicked by the government. Okay? 86% of the time they're wrong. 86% of the time they're charging you too much. 86. Those are Ownwell statistics. Ownwell wins 86% of the time. How about that? And they've done hundreds of thousands of these. This is a big enough sample size to know that the government just is really screwing you. I mean, they're really screwing you because they overcharge you 86% of the time. Ownwell wins. Ownwell has the technology. They have the expertise. They know how to do this. They've done it. Been there, done it. And they take a fraction, a fraction. You don't pay unless they win, and it's only a fraction of what they win. And the other guys are doing that are doing it are taking higher fractions, okay? So Ownwell gets this job done. You need Ownwell on your side, and Ownwell is going to be there for you, all right? You got until May 15th to protest your taxes. It takes 3 minutes to sign up. Ownwell.com is the place to go. Ownwell.com. Ownwell.com. All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Crappy night last night. Crappy night. Astros lose 3-2. And the Rockets lose 95-85. Bad, bad night for the Houston area. Sports-wise. 713-780-3776. What did you want to talk about today? If you missed, what did you learn this weekend? You can jump in with what did you learn this weekend. You're more than welcome to do that. We've got some sound from last night. Ime, we heard from him, not going to overreact. Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr met the media as well. And listen, it went well for them. But Steven Adams, the Twin Towers worked for the Rockets. The only guy on the floor for the Rockets last night that was positive was Steven Adams. And the Rockets won when it was they did the double big. They won the night when they did the double big. And it got more physical. Here's Steve Kerr talking about a physical game last night.
In many ways, they're in the image of their coach. You know, Ime was, he was a grinder as a player. He was, you know, tough and physical, and that's what Houston is. And in this series, you can see they're, you know, they know where their advantage lies. And it's, you know, playing Adams a lot, sometimes playing him with Şengün, having everybody crash. So it felt like, you know, 1997 out there to me, you know, completely different NBA game than what we're used to. And we've got to be ready for that. This is what this series is going to be.
So it was. That was 90s basketball, bro. It
felt like 97. Oh. That's true, though, because it was really physical.
Dude,
they let them play.
Was 50. It was 50. The Rockets had 53 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It was off. I mean, that was so nice. I watched the whole game. I was going, man, this is a throwback game. Holy crap. It really was. That's how basketball used to be. Your kids don't know nothing about that. Uh-huh. That's
oh, they've seen videos. They know. Yeah. Snacks used to watch Bad Boy Pistons videos, so they know. They know how it looks.
It wasn't that bad, but it was just a bunch
of plumbers fighting. They just think it was just a bunch of bricklayers and plumbers and
pipe
fitters fighting each other, and then Michael Jordan would dunk on all of them.
I will say this: there are some great shooters in the NBA right now.
Yep,
I mean, I'm watching game after game after game, kicking it out to guys who are just knocking down shots. It's like, it ain't nothing for and not even, you know, it doesn't have to be Steph Curry or it doesn't have to be a great shooter. I mean, they're hitting guys on the move, on the run. They don't care. Got a fast break. We're going to hit somebody who's open for a three and take it. And they're knocking them down. It is really the shooters today are way better than they were in the past. Way better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it's close.
What's not close, and it was, it's not close, and it's because it is, you know, it's the same way home run hitters in baseball, like, they know launch angles, they know, they're just familiar with, they start at a much earlier age. It's crazy, going to high school games, going to little Pee Wee League basketball games, watching 10-year-olds make threes from college, you know, from the college three, and high school three, watching 11-year-olds, it's not a big deal for them to shoot that shot and make that shot. it's just expected now. You know, you start way, way earlier. You learn to shoot from far away. Your muscle memory clicks in. It's just something that's it's coveted and it's prioritized.
Well,
and there's no, you can't get around it. The shooting's way better.
It seems like a bad time for me to be saying how well great the shooters are when we watch the Rockets just suck at shooting the basketball last night. And especially one guy. I mean, two guys. Fred deserves his. Fred sucked. Fred was terrible. But so is Jalen. And Jalen does not play well against this team. Here's Jalen talking about his lack of execution last night.
I just think just the physicality. Executing. I don't think we executed enough. Spacing. We talked about it over with the guys. Spacing, execution, the main things. We just got to take our time.
How important do you feel like it is for you in particular, being the team's leading scorer, to give them, you know, more points alongside single?
Yeah, I got to be better. I got to be better. You know, it's my first game. I'm not too worried about it. We got a chance to, you know, shake back and improve from the game. So, you know, I got a taste of what it was, and now I just got to answer back.
Any, do you see, so he said, my first playoff game, I got a taste of what it was. How much of the Rockets do you think bounced back after they got the first round under their belt and got punched in the face a little bit? You think they come back? And I think there's a chance that after that first game, they are more settled. I think there's definitely a good chance that happens.
Yeah, I think they'll be better. I think they'll be better. I think they got to come out with that white-hot intensity, only keep it. I do. I love the way that they started the game. I don't know how you can. Well, they maintained that during their streak a couple of weeks ago when they were playing Oklahoma City, and they kept that same. And the difference was they made shots then, and they didn't make any shots last night. Ime, is he worried about Jalen? Here is, now we heard Ime not worried about, you know, the offensive struggles that the Rockets had last night, right? We saw that. Here is Ime talking about Jalen and his struggles.
I mean, they went after him some, but, you know, played in the crowd a little bit too much. You know, it's not like I said, it's not really the turnovers as much as, you know, he only had one. But those shots in the crowd where you got to find your outlets. And so this is a team that's loading up. When he has his isolations on, whether it's up top or getting to the lane or packing the paint, you got to find your outlets. That's going to be a big key throughout the series.
That audio sucks. That audio just really sucks.
We didn't go collect it, so there's nothing we can say about it.
Yeah, I know, but...
Did you go to the game?
Well, no, but didn't B-Mac go to the game with your jersey on?
No. My jersey's still here.
Oh, I thought B-Mac was wearing your jersey.
I sent a picture of me in my jersey. Sam goes, Lance, I've already posted it. It's too late. Oh. And I just said, you're welcome. Golden State, I referenced this before. Jalen Green has 5 games this year against Golden State. 31.4 minutes a game. He averages 4.6 makes to 14.6 shots. He's shooting 31.5% from the field against Golden State. It is the worst percentage of any team other than the Miami Heat. And who knows, he may have played against Jimmy Butler in that one. Golden State, his 3-point percentage is 25% this year in those 5 games. His turnover total is 3 turnovers per game versus his assist total, which is 3, so it's 1-to-1. But if you go back to 23-24, you know, it ain't a lot better against Golden State. Now, he had only played in 3 games there, but he averaged 38.3% from the field, 27% from 3. Over his 8 games, not counting the playoffs, and it was a bad playoff game, over his 9 games against Golden State during the Ime Udoka era, it hasn't been good. He does very poorly against Golden State. So that's a 9-game run. It's not the end of the world, but it's a decent sample.
Well, now it's a 10, and you can add the 3 for 15.
No. It's 9. It was 8. 5 this year, 3 last year, and I'm adding to 1.
Oh.
9. So, you know, of those games, he's had like 1 really good game.
Yeah.
So it's a big problem. He doesn't play well against his team historically. I'm sure if I went back another year, probably in very good in 22-23, but That was Steven Silas Rockets. That, I don't even count. I try not to even think about that. Yeah, he shot 32% in 22-23. Shot 32% from the field, 20% from three, and averaged 16.3. It's literally the worst team in the league for him. Nobody is he worse against than Golden State. That's Jalen Green I'm talking.
Yeah, that's not good. And he still played 31 minutes. You know, if you got it, listen, James Harden sat against the Clippers in the postseason because he wasn't good. You know, if you got to sit, if Jalen is struggling again, I don't see. If you need some offense, and are you pissed at Cam? Or, I mean, that's a guy that might be able to come off the bench and hit a shot for you. Who knows? He's instant offense. And I don't know.
You think the fear is just defensively he's not good enough and that you can't afford to lose. You know, obviously that's not a guy that.
Or then go with Aaron Holiday because we know he can play defense.
Yeah, but these guys aren't really in the rotation.
Aaron Holiday has seen minutes in some big time.
My team is on the court. Norman Dale just told you that his team is on the court.
Yeah, okay. Well, your team sucked last night. They just couldn't shoot.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to. I don't think he trusts Cam Whitmore defensively. And if you can't defend, come sit down here by me.
Well, I know this. If you put Cam in the game, he's going to focus defensively because he knows.
He had 1 minute against Golden State in that win that they had where Steph had three, he had a minute in that game.
Well, because, yeah, obviously, because he doesn't play. Yeah, but
I mean, I don't think he's going to start playing now, you know what I mean?
Well, it's not like he hasn't played. The dude can come off the bench at any time.
He has. He's not. But he's not, but like, Ime, you think Ime's going to do that?
You know what? If Ime doesn't, if they go down and lose again and can't shoot, and he doesn't use all his bullets, and if he leaves bullets on the bench, then that's on Ime.
It's an 8-man rotation. Jabari, Tari, and Steven Adams are the three. Now, Aaron Holiday did get 11 minutes in that game that you referenced, in the game I referenced, the win at Golden State. He did get 11 minutes in that one. So he got 11 in that one. I mean, he was minus 2 in the game. He scored 3 points, whatever, is 11 minutes, but it's not unusual for most playoff rotations to be 7 or 8 men. That's why I don't see Cam Whitmore being a factor in this one. Probably because of the defense, probably because of the fear of Steph Curry going off. I mean, I'm sure that's going to be the fear. Hey, you know, just, you know what? Did you notice how guys can go get baskets on Steph in a paint when he was on Amen Thompson? Think about this. Other than Fred VanVleet, who's the guy that can't shoot over Steph Curry? They can't back him down, back his narrow ass down into the
lane. Jalen couldn't get past him.
Yeah. What's that?
Jalen could not get past him.
He can, though.
Well, at least last night he could. I'll put it that way then.
I think the angle, I'd like to see him go at a little at an angle, not from the top, maybe a little bit even beyond the kind of the elbow extended. I'd like to see him get an angle where he can really just take Steph directly into the paint and just shoot over him from 8 feet, 7 feet, 6 feet. Amen Thompson can do it. I really want to make Steph work on defense. Really want to make him. And I'm not talking about chasing a bunch of screens. I mean, we're going to take you into the paint and shoot over you, and we'll see how you do. Because he's not a good defender. He's not a plus defender against.
We got a break. They're watching on ESPN right now. They're showing all Jalen's misses.
That's rude.
More impressed by the Warriors or disappointed in the Rockets? For me, disappointed in the Rockets. They played the game that they wanted to play, and they just weren't good enough.
I was impressed with Steph Curry, but I mean, I'm more disappointed with the Rockets.
Yeah, you got to talk right now. Are you happy or are you sad about Allstate Windows and Siding?
I'm happy about Allstate. Well, I'm very, very excited that what Allstate Windows and Siding are doing for Houstonians is something that saves you money. I mean, I'm happy that you can get a product that it saves you money in a couple different ways. First, let's start with energy efficiency. Brand new double pane windows that are made here in Texas for our weather with good materials. That's what Allstate Windows and Siding use, and that can lower your energy Bill, can improve efficiency up to 60%. You can take 60% off your energy bill with new properly fit windows and quality windows from Allstate Windows and Siding. They've got financing available for you, and that includes 12 months, no payments, no interest. So if you don't want to pay for the 12 months, you want to wait, go ahead and do that. If you want to make payments with no interest and get it paid off inside of a year, and you won't have any interest payments at all that you have to make, you can do that as well. It's your choice. But you've got 30% off of each window, minimum 10-window job. They're going to give you an additional percentage off when you mention that you're an ESPN 97.5, 92.5 listener. So don't, you can wait till the very end and say, oh, by the way, I'd like my additional percentage because I'm a listener to Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5. $2,500 off of complete siding jobs is something that you can get. So when it comes to upgrading the look of your home, the energy efficiency of your home, the protection of your home, nobody does it better than Allstate Windows and Siding. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. For more information, go online at allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.